Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondrink.
Howdy.
How do? Top of the radio dial to you.
Folks, you ought to see him in his green fedora. Aye, and he's just on his green shirt, too. He's just a shining example of Paddy.
St. Paddy's Day is one of my favorites, man. I try to take it off of work if it's a work day, but luckily, tomorrow is not a work day, and I get to go out and imbibe and have my big Irish breakfast in the morning. And
you won't be doing it at Burroughs.
No, I won't be doing it at Burroughs, but no, I've got my favorite places, which I will not reveal at this point, because they're not a sponsor.
Don't tip off the police.
No, I'm always very careful. I take my time, and I'm home by noon normally. I like to have my breakfast and a beer, you know, which is unusual.
Green beer?
No, I don't do the green beer. I do. There's so much better things to drink than green beer.
Guinness?
I do, yes. Yep.
It's got taste.
Yeah, absolutely. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone, and let's take a minute to take care of one of our advertisers. If you were looking for a new overhead door or a new garage door or to repair, replace, or just do a garage door checkup, a tune-up, you want to call Overhead Door in Whitmore Lake, 734-449-0400. That's 734-449-0400. Or you can go to ohdwhitmorelake@gmail.com, send them, and they'll send them an email, and they'll call you back. So, you know, and we don't think about garage doors until something happens.
Until you can't get out or can't get in.
Up and down at least twice a day, right? Yeah. Most people, like myself, that's how I get in and out of my house.
We don't use the front door. We use the garage door. Yep. The kids know the code.
Yeah.
They don't have a key.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure you do that. And what we do every Saturday on The Drift is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. It's
the news you need to know.
Thank you. News from around the world, across the globe, and even right here at home. So we're going to start. I know there's a lot to get to. We've got this horrific shooting. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say that guy's name down in New Zealand. And we've got the veto and lots of stuff to talk about. But I wanted to stay a little closer to home because this is a huge issue for us in Michigan, whether you're just a regular driver or a commercial driver or a small business owner. Our governor, our newly elected Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer, is going to be asking for a 45-cent increase in our gas tax delivered in 15-cent increments over the next year. That's what she wants to do.
Did we play the audio last week where she said she wouldn't ask for 20?
Yes, okay. We did. And so a friend of mine at work showed me an article this week in Crain's Business Magazine. And I thought about it, and I went, oh, my gosh, there's another great alternative. So there are alternatives. And so I got hold of the author, and it's John Marino. John Mozina. My eyes are getting so bad. And I asked him if he could come on for a little bit today. So John Mozina is calling in. And, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, John, fantastic article. I had no idea that corporate subsidies were as big as they are in this state. But before we get into that, do you want to tell me a little bit about what you've done and maybe tell us what your website is so that people can follow up on this?
Sure. I'm actually the president of a relatively new organization. We call it the Center for Economic Accountability. And what we did is I and some colleagues who care about the issue of corporate subsidies and incentives and economic development policy sort of looked around and realized that most of the opposition to these deals and most of the people questioning these deals sort of in any organized way were folks who were coming at this from sort of the left, call them Democrats, progressive liberals, whatever you want to do. And they come at it from a perspective of fairness and equity and things like that. And that's valuable and that's worthwhile. But we thought that there needed to be a voice for people who come from the other side of the equation, who come at it from a standpoint of limited government and free markets and individual liberty and the level playing field where government's not putting its thumb on the scale of which businesses are going to succeed and which businesses are going to fail. So we got together with a couple of people and who have some background on this. I spent a long time in the private sector as a marketing and PR guy, working with downtown development authorities and stuff. So I've got experience on this from sort of the side of trying to promote it. One of my board members is a former assistant city planner in Houston, master's in urban planning. So we come at this not as sort of amateurs, but as people who actually know what's going on. And what we're starting off is just looking for places where we can talk about accountability and transparency and trying to get people to realize that overwhelmingly all of the money that states and local states and localities hand out in these deals really isn't necessary, and it really doesn't help, and get people thinking differently about that.
Okay, that's good, and that's what I mean. Even last week we were talking about, and I think you've got a history with Michigan Capital Confidential too, right?
Yeah, I actually my most recent job was I was a vice president at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy here in Michigan. I was the vice president for marketing communications and worked very closely with the CapCon team there, who do great work. I guess theoretically I did a little writing for it, but that was my job at the Mackinac Center. So
right. So last week we talked a little bit about it. Not only Gretchen Whitmer kind of hiding this during her campaign, but also the fact that on CapCon last week there was an article that said about 40% of this new proposed gas tax would not even go to the roads. Can you propound a little bit on that, about how the money comes in and then all of a sudden it comes out the back door and you're not getting everything that we should be for the roads?
Yeah, and that's one of those places where I certainly, I have a basic understanding of it. I don't claim to be as much of an expert as my friends and former colleagues at Mackinac. James Holman, who's the director of fiscal policy there, is sort of the king in the state as far as I'm concerned at looking at that stuff. But basically, it all boils down to, once a dollar goes into state government, with very few exceptions, it can go anywhere. And these things of where taxes go in, if it's just a general fund revenue, that it can go right back out the door. So there's issues with the fact that we, charge sales tax on the gas tax, and that sales tax is how we fund, among other things, education in the state. It gets really complicated, but at the end of the day, it's a function of the state brings in a heck of a lot of money every year, as I know, your listeners know, and it likes to have more money, and it's going to keep on asking for more money until we tell it not to do that. So the specifics of what would be going on with the gas tax, I do know that, among other things, I've also worked in the past trying to get people to see a little bit of reason on mass transit and public transit funding with the Regional Transit Authority here in southeastern Michigan. I know that they've got earmarks in there for taking the gas tax and putting it into things like light rail and stuff like that, and high-speed rail that makes no sense for us here in Michigan. So it's all a mess that way.
Yeah, that's been one of my pet peeves for a long time. The people want to run this rail from Howell to Ann Arbor to try and alleviate the traffic on U.S. 23. And they even went ahead, they spent a ton of money on surveys and everything else at this point. But one of the things that bothered me is they asked, when they did a survey, they asked a lot of people in Ann Arbor if they wanted the light rail from Howell to Ann Arbor. Well, people in Ann Arbor aren't going to use the light rail from Howell to Ann Arbor. And I thought, what are you doing? Why are you trying to rig the survey by having a bunch of tree-hugging people from Ann Arbor try and get people off the U.S. 23? It never made sense, but I don't want to get deep in the weeds on that. You were talking about if we can remove corporate tax breaks. You want to go over some of those figures and let people know really how much money we are giving to corporations that we probably should not be.
Yeah. Well, and that's a really good point, because I think the first thing people have to understand that most people don't, because it really doesn't register on most people's radar all that often, is that we don't actually know as a state how much money we have given specific companies in tax breaks. The state has handed out literally billions of dollars to individual companies in tax credits that they can sort of cash in whenever they feel like it. And then when people have gone and asked, hey, like who did you give those credits to? The state has said through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, oh, that's private taxpayer information. Like, we know, I mean, in reality, we know that it's primarily the automakers, but in terms of which ones they are and how much they actually have, the fact that the taxpayers aren't allowed to know which other taxpayers aren't paying their bills or have been allowed not to pay their bills seems inappropriate. So to some extent, we don't know exactly how much is out there because there's such a culture of secrecy and against transparency in economic development. But some of the real high-level numbers, we know that in 2017, in total, our state government and the municipalities that reported it, as they're supposed to under new accounting rules, reported that there was $944 million in money that they didn't receive because of tax breaks they'd cut, specific tax breaks for economic development. So that's $944 million in taxes they would have received that year had they not made those deals. And that's just a one-year total.
So that's almost $1 billion.
That's almost $1 billion. It's probably more than that, actually, because that's just the tax money that they didn't receive. That doesn't count direct subsidies going out. That doesn't count the cost of interest on bonds that they floated to finance things. That doesn't count the salaries of the people who run all these programs. I mean, we went and looked at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the state's sort of primary economic development, and the has a $22 million a year budget just for salaries and benefits for its employees. I noted in the Cranes piece you're talking about, I noted that if we're complaining about fixing the roads, 2017, the head of the MEDC made almost twice as much money as the head of the State Department of Transportation.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at right here in your article. $165,000 for the Department of Transportation Director, Kirk Studel, and $283,000 for the CEO of the MEDC, Stephen Arwood. Which of those guys really brings value add to us? I'm assuming it's Kirk Studel, not MEDC guy.
Yeah, I mean, Studel, who retired this past year, or at least went on to a different job, I mean, he's a licensed professional engineer. I mean, he's got, you know, an actual engineering background in things like fixing roads. If all else failed, we could send him out there with a shovel and some asphalt to patch holes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing. And then when you talk about $22 million, I mean, you know, yeah, that's maybe 1/100th or so of the amount of money we're told we need to fix the roads. But, you know, you do that 1/100th often enough and it adds up. And as I said, you know, you can hire a lot more guys in reflective vests than you can investment managers. I've done highway construction. I know how much I got paid versus an investment manager was getting paid.
Right.
It just seems like if you know, obviously, you know, every decision when it comes to state government and state budgeting is what's our priority? What are we trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
And if we are saying that our infrastructure is the single most important thing out there and we got to fix this and that it's, you know, that it's hurting our state's economy by scaring off companies by, you know, draining money out of people's pockets with car repairs and the like, then let's treat it like that, because the evidence on the other side is that overwhelmingly the money that we spend on economic development just doesn't matter. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny percentage even when you accept the assertions of these folks about how important it is.
Right. And it's both sides of the aisle. We've got Democrats and Republicans who are loving these corporate subsidies, I'm assuming because they get some kind of a kickback on the election front from these companies and lobbyists, right?
Well, actually, that's the thing is that you're absolutely right. This is absolutely a bipartisan problem. It's not a function of Republicans or Democrats. The nice thing is, for someone in my perspective, is that the opposition to them is also bipartisan. I mean, there was a fun piece a little while back in National Review talking about how they finally found something they could agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on, which was that she was opposed to the Amazon deal in New York, and so were they. The issue, though, isn't really, and people sort of assume that there's this corruption that goes into these deals. And I mean, sure, that happens sometimes. But the real problem is that there doesn't even need to be corruption for this to be worth politicians' time, because at the end of the day, the value they get from it is that they're able to take credit for creating jobs. And we all know that, you know, not politicians who create jobs. It's people who start and run good businesses, and it's the economy just sort of in its natural functioning state of trying to meet people's needs and trying to compete with the other companies out there to find customers and all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, I joke that the true purpose of these programs isn't to create jobs; it's to make people believe that politicians are responsible for creating jobs.
Right,
and research shows that voters reward politicians. We're able to stand up there at the ribbon cutting or at the groundbreaking ceremony and take credit for it. It just happens.
Yeah, terrible. So we can tell people, our listeners anyways, one of the things you can do if you don't want to pay a 45-cent gas tax over the next year or two is to call the governor's office and your state rep and your state senators and say, you know what, there's money available in corporate tax breaks. I mean, it's looking to me by the information you have in this article that there's probably at least $1 billion a year that if we had for the last 10 years, it would have been $10 billion for the roads.
May I read something?
Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
This is an open letter to the governor I read on Facebook. It says, Governor, please repair the roads that I was taxed to build so I don't have to pay more taxes on the repairs caused by the roads to the car that I'm already taxed to buy and taxed to own, that I purchased with the income that was already taxed by getting to work with the fuel that you already taxed me on, so I can buy groceries for my family that you taxed me on, to keep food on the table in my house that you taxed me on. Thank you.
There you go.
You're absolutely correct, and that's the real challenge here is that, you know, at the end of the day, people hear subsidies, incentives. What it means is that these companies aren't paying the same taxes that everybody else does. And you know, that's just, you know, we hear a lot about fairness, we hear a lot about equity, but that's just the way it is that I personally don't feel, and I think most people who, when they stop and think about it, don't feel like it's fair that generally big companies, because it's usually not small companies, it's usually not startups and entrepreneurs that got this stuff. I grew up with my dad owning a family business. He was a contractor, and, you know, and he and I talk about this. He's like, I never got a tax break. And, you know, he was hiring and employing carpenters and electricians and plumbers and bookkeepers. And, you know, he created a lot of jobs. He created a lot of economic activity. And he never got anybody coming to him and saying, hey, you want a tax break? But, you know, when they start talking about, you know, in Detroit, Chrysler getting however many, you know, million or billion dollars in tax breaks to build a plant there, I'm like, we've given Chrysler a whole lot of tax breaks over the years. That's not even going back to Lee Iacocca and saving them in the 80s. So that at some point, they got to be able to build cars without our help. But, yeah, I mean, you talked about the idea of unwinding this and having the money for roads. You know, obviously, a lot of these deals, there's contracts, and we couldn't, you know, it couldn't be like we decided to do this, and then next year there's $944 million more available. But some of them we could unwind now. We could stop signing new deals, you know, already this year, I think I just looked at January and February, we signed another $73 million worth of them at a time when we're sitting there going, like, oh my goodness, we have no money, we have to fix the roads, and then we, you know, made that many deals. You know, but the thing is, so yes, more money would open up over time as these contracts with companies ended, but that would mean we'd be getting more money over the years as opposed to, if we're doing the gas tax, you know, cars are getting more efficient. All the automakers are going to, you know, electric cars and stuff like that. And, well, yeah, there's a component of the vehicle registration fee that, you know, if you have a hybrid or a plug-in car, you pay a higher registration fee that's tied to the gas tax. It makes more sense to me, I think, to tie our road funding, or at least to be bringing in more road funding, to a pot of money that's going to get bigger over time rather than one that's going to shrink as just fewer cars need gas.
Right.
So from, you know, if roads are a long-term play, then that seems to me to be strategically the long-term smart solution rather than coming back in 10 years or so and having to have this whole argument all over again.
Yeah. So, John, you got time to handle a couple of questions or comments from listeners?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Derek, can you bring on Joe from Wyandotte and let Joe, I don't know if he's got a comment or a question, but hang tight. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I wanted to call about what you started to talk about but never really delved into was the diversion of road funds. But I did want to make a comment about the creation of jobs thing. A lot of time those are just shell games, too. I myself personally know this because I work for Kmart headquarters in Troy, And the state, of course, helped us build a data center across the street from headquarters and claimed to create all those jobs. Well, no, those were just people that we moved from across the street. Those weren't new jobs. There were new jobs at this new piece of dirt address, but they were the same jobs, and it's all games most of the time. But the diversion of funds, I ran for our state rep back in the 90s. This has been going on forever. It's the same stuff. It never changes. We never get it fixed. Money goes for bike paths. Stop building the bike paths. I don't have anything against bike paths. They're great. They're wonderful. It's nice open space, and we probably should do that, but that shouldn't be coming out of road funds.
Yeah.
When I was running, I made an issue against my opponent. Money was being diverted for a bridge. Well, you think a bridge, yeah, well, road funds should go for a bridge. A pedestrian and golf cart bridge on a privately owned golf cart course in Westland has nothing to do with our road funds, but that's where some money was going to.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's great comments, Joe, and the diversion
exactly.
is a huge issue.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the comments, Joe.
All right. Take care, my friends. Love you.
Take care. Love you, too. You want to bring Mark from Holly? Well, before we go there, so do you have anything else you wanted to add, John, about diversion?
Yeah, there was one really good point there about the idea of jobs being created versus jobs being moved, and that is he hit the nail on the head. The phrase that gets used a lot is jobs, quote, saved or created. So, you know, we're spending this money and it's taking credit for the jobs not going away. Well, you know, we don't know that.
It's intangible.
It's rare that actually happens. The big issue is that there's something, and this gets a little wonky, I'll try to make it sort of simple for folks, is that there's an argument called the but form. Basically, the idea is, what would have happened had you not gotten this incentive? What would the company have done had it not gotten the deal? And the entire, you know, the whole argument is that, well, we have to do this, otherwise the jobs won't be created. We have to do this, otherwise the company would go elsewhere. It would build the plant someplace else. It would move. And every single one of these deals is based on the theory that if this didn't happen, the deal wouldn't happen. If they didn't get the money, the deal wouldn't happen. The problem is that all of the research from all over the political spectrum, all of the sociologists, professors and researchers and everybody from all over the country, including right here in Michigan, where there's some really world-class experts on this topic, finds that overwhelmingly that's not the truth. The best estimate of researchers is that in at least 3/4 of these deals,
okay,
the company would have done the exact same thing anyways.
Yeah, we're run up against a hard break.
Okay.
All right. So, John, give us your website one more time so that people can get there and look you up, and I hope we have you on again.
I would love to. The website is economicaccountability.org. People can go on and take a look. Or if you're on Twitter, it's Accountable Econ. Got to fit the words in there. And we would love to talk to anybody who's interested in what's going on in their communities about this.
Awesome, John.
This
Thank you so much. It's John Mazzino from Economic Accountability. And we'll have you on again, John. I really appreciate you calling in.
Anytime. Appreciate the opportunity.
Happy St. Pat's Day to you.
You as well.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, excellent call.
Yeah.
Mark, we'll get you and Todd after the break. We'll bring you guys on, and we'll get your questions and comments out on the show there. But definitely, this is an issue, and I want to remind people, make a quick phone call to the governor's office, to your representative and your state senator. You know, call them and say, hey, look at other options.
This is their natural inclination, is to raise taxes.
Yeah.
It's never to look for cost-cutting solutions. It's always just leave things at the status quo and add money to it.
Yeah. This is obviously, we're talking $1 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you had had that $1 billion.
Could be real money. That could add up to real money after a while.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see all of you on the other side of the break. And our callers, hang in there. We'll get you after the break.
People are always headed somewhere, driving to work, taking the kids to practice. How do they keep up on the latest news and information? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you have a product or business to advertise, your message can reach these listeners wherever they are. People tune to Wham! Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Theron X, Steve Gruber, Dana Lash, and Joe Pags. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise with Wham! Radio and whamradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Carol McHugh. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi scheduled a vote in an attempt to override President Trump's veto of Congress's resolution overturning his national emergency declaration. One GOP lawmaker weighed in.
Every state's a border state, every town's a border town, until we secure the southern border. And the president is correct in taking the step to veto this resolution.
Senator Marsha Blackburn on Fox. That override vote happens March 26th. Meanwhile, the latest Democrat to enter the 2020 presidential contest is off and running.
Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke is at the 2020 campaign trail running this week. He launched his presidential bid on the cover of Vanity Fair's April issue and then headed to Iowa. From his native El Paso, Texas, O'Rourke told Vanity Fair, quote, "I want to be in it. Man, I'm just born to be in it."
Fox's Jillian Turner. This is Fox News.
Hi, this is Keith from Lewis Jewelers. I want to take this moment to thank all of our clients we have served. Hundreds have taken the time to share their experience with a review, and that's truly humbling. You have made us the top talked about jeweler in Ann Arbor, the top jeweler in Washtenaw County, and one of the most widely reviewed jewelers in the state of Michigan. It is always an honor to play a role in your life's journey.
Lewis Jewelers, celebrate the moment.
Don't miss London Calling with your host, Dan Martin.
Join me for 2 hours of musical fun every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Whether you're a Beatles fan, Adele aficionado, Motorhead lover, Cliff Richard devotee, or a Spice Girl buff, there's something for you on London Calling.
It's been so long, you say you had fun.
London Calling, right here on Wham!
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. "This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Woman, please be gone. You stayed here much too long. Don't you wish that you could cry? Don't you wish I would die? See me, seesaw kids.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, it's Ed Bondarenkin.
Howdy.
How do? And let's take a quick call from, before we do that, though, well, I'm going to take the call, and then you can find me somebody that you want to.
Right there.
Do. Oh, Leper Accounting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take care of a little business.
It's tax time.
It's tax time. April is almost here, but don't wait too long. Go to leperaccounting.com and figure out to have somebody do your taxes other than you. 810-355-1552. That's 810-355-1552. If you do your own taxes, that's a flag. Mm-hmm. Pay somebody, a professional, to do it, and that would be Leper & Company, LLC. Leper, L-E-P-P-E-R, accounting.com. Give
a call. I think there's a tax law that says you can blame it on somebody else. You let them do it. Give him a call.
Trust me, it's worth having somebody else do your taxes. It really is. It, peace of mind, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's 810-355-1552. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Nope, that's perfect. All right, let's take a call from Mark. I'm so confabulated here. Mark from Howell on Road Funding. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Gary. Ed, the drift, the news you need to know to start out with.
Hey, he's going well for done. My job. I'm done. I can't
well
take
done.
It. Yeah.
I wanted to say kudos to John here. This has been one of my pet peeves. You know, the reason that we offer these incentives to lure companies to come here and reside here with their businesses, that extends to their staff and their employees. And we have nothing to offer them, gentlemen. We've got the worst roads. We just went from a D-plus to a D-minus, rated the worst in the country. We've got the highest auto insurance in the country. We also have we don't have a free market energy, so if these companies need to power up, they're going to be paying through the nose, okay?
Yeah.
I've been all over this the past couple weeks in Lansing, not only with my representative, but I'm hitting both sides of the aisle and it's going all the way up to the governor's desk. And I've been telling my representatives and my senators to push their weight around. Unfortunately, my senator now is a Democrat, so my congressman in Washington went to as a Democrat now.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm still pushing it on all levels. But the thing is here, let's look at this. I talked to my representative's office this week. I said, well, you know, you're in your last term. It's high time you push your weight around there. And I'm liking what I'm hearing. The Republicans are balking right now as far as bending over and agreeing to this. Every time they go into a budget, and I said, how many times, and I've been getting on about this, go department by department. If we have to tighten our belts as citizens, then, by gosh, they need to go department by department to trim the fat and get rid of the wasteful spending. Now, another thing, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you look up the DOT and see how many people are employed just working for the DOT, they are very top-heavy, from Kurt Steigel all the way down. They do not need that many people in that operation. That's another thing. Okay? And then also, I don't know if you're aware of this, but our state tax that's taken out of our gas purchases now is not going to roads, gentlemen, at all.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And I agree with your last caller, Joe. They're putting in another rail track. You know how they convert the rail tracks to those big, long paths? Okay. Bike paths, rail tracks, parks, you know, all these park improvements. Well, and then, of course, the roundabouts, I've had them with those guys. You know, there's a lot of way we could trim the fat here. Another thing is these universities that we're funding. Okay, I'm looking at all these universities. What are they building? They're building new gymnasiums and new swimming pools and
communists.
All this other stuff.
They're building communists.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, well, great points, Mark. You hit it right on the head. The state needs to tighten its belt. That's it. You know, the rest of us tighten our belts. Even Ford and GM is cutting people right now. They know they're top heavy, so they're cutting people. Well, doggone it, the state government should do the same. Start cutting people. Don't replace them. Whatever you got to do, look for other ways besides going into our wallets once again.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely, gentlemen. And another thing that Thayer Ronas brought up on that show, and I agree with him 100%. When you look at our representatives that we elect and our senators, okay, and you look at their staffing, okay, you got people in there that are just doing dictation or making copies. They're making $50,000 a year. Give me a break, gentlemen. Yeah. We need to trim the fat. Thanks, guys.
Yep,
thanks.
You got it.
See
great call, Mark. Call. Appreciate it. Take care. Let's take a call from Todd in Whitmore Lake. Todd, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate that. You know, these road problems we got, you know, obviously are from, you know, culture of corruption. If we go with that idea, Patrick Colbeck's trying to reverse that, and when he was running for governor. But the whole unfortunate thing is that Gretchen Whitmer says that she will listen to all ideas. And I don't know if I've talked to you about this or not, but the unfortunate thing is Gretchen Whitmer is not listening to other ideas other than the one fomenting in her head, because there have been many people that called that told her to sit down with Patrick Colbeck, have coffee, put differences aside, call it your own agenda, and to get these road problems fixed. She won't do it.
Yeah.
She will not do it.
Yeah, that's what do you expect? That's Democrat. And anyone that voted for her should have known better. It's that simple.
Well, get what you pay for or vote
exactly.
for.
Exactly. And not only that, there are roads that were tested back in the 50s and or built that are still excellent, way better than what we've got now. And they can be expanded upon.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And as we've heard before, it's the substrate so much as the top coat that really makes the roads last. All right, great call, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
So before we move on, let's just remind people one last time. Make your phone calls, folks. It works. You see, our callers are calling.
Oh, Mark, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, call and do what our callers are doing and call the government, the governor and your state rep and your senator. At the very least, that's three phone calls. You probably won't even get somebody. So leave a message because it at least tells them that the pressure's on, right? So do that.
Oh, by the way, if we have any listeners who are in the Chelsea West South Ann Arbor area, do Theron a favor and switch over to the FM so he feels like it's being used.
Oh, is we're it
on
up and
FM?
Now?
Yeah, went on last night.
Oh, all
Derek,
right.
What is it? Is it 92.7?
That is correct.
92.7.
Yeah.
Wham.
So
talks.
Make use of it.
Yeah. I got to rethink that in my head now how I'm going to do that. Or maybe Theron can come up with the new catch sign, whatever it is. somebody needs to do that. Well, I'm glad we're out on FM now. Well, we're going to avoid talking too much about the shooter in New Zealand just because we got other things to get into. But it's also so early yet. We haven't done anything investigative-wise. They haven't released a whole lot other than this.
It's a lot of contradictory stuff. Semi-auto, fully auto, modified semi-auto.
Yeah. And what I do want people to reserve judgment is this. This guy is putting out this crazy manifesto. He's flashing the white power sign at his incarceration and everything else. It just seems a tad too contrived for me because there was Facebook's postings from this guy from last year, 12 months ago. He was in Pakistan taking a vacation, allegedly, and posted to Facebook that he loved the people. They were the nicest people, the greatest people in the world. How do you go from 12 months thinking that the Muslims in Pakistan are great people to all of a sudden saying, I'm going to kill 49 people.
This reminds me of the Las Vegas shooting, of which we still know nothing
exactly.
About.
Exactly. If something is just too contrived here for this manifesto and the whole nine yards, and it's obvious that this guy just wants to cause division amongst people of the world as opposed to anything else. So
New Zealand is right
that.
Next to Australia. It's very similar culturally. Australia has pretty much banned guns. Of course, most people haven't turned theirs in, but they can't take them out to use them as easily, right?
Right.
New Zealand didn't do that. But they have a hugely liberal – I have people I communicate with in New Zealand. They have a hugely liberal government there,
yeah,
which would like to do the same thing.
Yeah. So,
and this is a good pretext.
Absolutely. This whole thing just smells to high heaven for me. So I'm going to reserve judgment. We'll save it for another show. Hopefully we'll get information over the next few weeks, and then we'll talk about it then. But what we do want to talk about is the latest Democratic entrant for 2020 presidential election. Your friend, Robert Beto O'Rourke. You love him, don't you?
Oh, man. Beto. Robert, call me Beto O'Rourke.
I call him.
Hey, guys, please call me Beto. Please.
I call him the Beto male.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Because he is a Beto male. Yeah. And there's something deeply disturbing about this guy, and I can't quite put my finger on it. The hand motions, the jerkiness.
Oh, I can put my hand on it.
The ADD, whatever it is, it's just something about it is just odd.
So President Trump said something about, that's a lot of hand gestures. Is he crazy or what? Well, let's see if he's crazy. Fox News broke this story about Beto O'Rourke writing a murder fantasy when he was in his teens.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay? Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Catcher in the Rye, and that was a fictional story of a guy who wrote had this thing going on in the head about children and everything, and everybody recognized that he was a wacko. But this is Beto O'Rourke when he was a teenager was writing something like this. He says, one day as I was driving home from work, I noticed two children crossing the street. They were happy to be free from their troubles. I knew, however, that this happiness and sense of freedom were much too overwhelming for them. This happiness was mine by right. I had earned it in my dreams. As I neared the young ones, I put all my weight on my right foot, keeping the accelerator pedal on the floor until I heard the crashing of the two children on the hood, and then the sharp cry of pain from one of the two. I was so fascinated for a moment that when after I had stopped my vehicle, I just sat in a daze, sweet visions filling my head.
What? You know?
What kind of a... You don't recover from that and become the president of the United States. And if Trump had done that?
Oh, yeah. And that goes to, like, Bernie, too. Bernie's nasty paper that he wrote in college about women who fantasize
rape
about
fantasy.
Rape
fantasy. How does the media not get on these guys?
This is despicable. And, folks, you just got to open your eyes. If you talk to your Democratic friends or your liberal friends, you got to ask them these questions. How can you vote for Bernie? He was a guy that wrote papers about misogyny in college. Here's a guy writing about fantasizing or writing a fictional story about hitting children. You don't even see that kind of nastiness in Hollywood half the time, right? There's something deeply disturbing about the fact that he uses the Beto. He's not Hispanic by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, his dad went Republican.
Oh,
no, his dad went Republican.
Right now?
Yes.
He's a Republican.
His dad is a Republican.
It's like Kamala Harris's father's conservative as well.
Yep. Or Juan Williams' boys. I want to tell Phil Stargell that.
Yes, exactly. So I wanted to play, he did his first stop in Iowa, and I wanted to play these two tracks. So we'll start with that.
You're
going to
mimic the hand track? Because we're radio. You've got to mimic the hand
gestures.
Yes,
I'll be doing his hand motions. Wow. Derek, you got that first track ready? Now listen to Mr.
Robert.
Doom and gloom, whatever he gets into here. Go ahead and play it.
We face catastrophe and crisis on this planet, even if we were to stop emitting carbon today, right now, at this moment. We know that the storms that we saw in Texas, Harvey, which dumped the landfall record amount of rain on the United States of America, as long as we've been keeping records, that claimed the lives of too many of our fellow Americans, flooded people literally out of their homes and businesses. Storms like Harvey are only going to become more frequent and more severe and more devastating, and ultimately they'll compromise the ability to live in a city like Houston, Texas.
All right. Hello. Number one, I'm not sure that is factual about the dumping. And number two, we've been keeping weather records in this country for 200 odd years. So don't talk to me about the world ending in 12 years because we've had a few more storms.
Later in that speech, he talked about the climate change that 100% of scientists are in agreement on.
Which is false.
And they're not.
They're not. That's exactly 97%
right. 97% of scientists think it's false.
Yes. We can go back to that story about where they came up with this 97% thing, and it's completely false.
Yeah.
And yet the Democrats, the liberals will jump
the
on
media.
This all the time. The media, they're all in agreement. Not even close to being in agreement.
But it supports their power grab.
Yeah, exactly. There's a 5-minute video from YouTube that I put out on Twitter today that I saw somebody else put out, and I retweeted it. It is the best factual it's got the graphs, the whole nine yards, that I have seen
in years. And you're
going
to post a link to it on the dailydrift.com.
I will. And
I know that.
Maybe next week, or the week after when because I won't be here next week.
You won't be here. Maybe I'll just do it. You won't be here.
That'll send
Wait, don't
you.
Warn people. They won't tune in.
Of course they will.
Okay. Well, my wife will.
You call it the Ed Show. Oh, no. It's a liberal show.
Gee, Wilbur.
But yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Derek, you got that second track? Let's play this. Let's continue on with Mr. Doom and Gloom.
That life is going to be a lot tougher for the generations that follow us, no matter what we do. It is only a matter of degrees. And along this current trajectory, there will be people who can no longer live in the cities that they call home today. There is food grown in this country that will no longer prosper in these soils. There's going to be massive migration of tens or hundreds of millions of people from countries that are literally uninhabitable or underwater that are above the sea right now. This is our final chance. The scientists are absolutely unanimous on this,
we
have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis. My gratitude then for the young people who have stepped up to offer such a bold proposal to meet such a grave challenge. They say that we should do nothing less
this is important.
Than marshal every single resource in this country to meet that challenge, to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, to get to net zero emissions.
Martial
right?
law.
Yeah,
yep.
And that struck me when I heard it. I perked right up and I went, Martial. And you did the same thing.
Yeah,
I watched your face.
Exactly.
It went right up. And if you got any brains at all, you'll understand what Occasional Cortex and Maxine Waters and the rest of them with this new Green Deal want to do. They want to control. It's basically martial law is what they want to do.
I have this clip to play from Ghostbusters. This is Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And biblical proportions, cats and dogs living together.
In 12, hello, Noah. I'm sorry. I don't believe that you have any prophetic visions at all, other than what George Soros and company has put into your head.
It's a hack job. It's to get you to give up your freedom for security, which is exactly what Ben Franklin warned against. If you go, if you give up your freedom for this false security of 12 years from now we might live, then you deserve neither.
Yeah, this is absolute insanity coming from this guy, and people should be very scared of him, mm-hmm. and Occasional Cortex, and
the guy Taleb with the murder fantasies in his head. This is the guy with the murder. Oh, by the way, may I say, he talked about this act of love, this killing his children and his fantasy, right? It's an act of love. Think of the character Thanos in Avengers Infinity Games, where it was his type of love that he killed off half the galaxy, right, so that the other galaxy would prosper.
Right.
Infanticide, abortion. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Wants to talk about your buddy,
Beto O'Rourke. He's in the other room.
Yeah, he's calling in.
Oh.
Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, gentlemen. You know, one of the bad aspects of electing Donald Trump as our president, because he had no experience, any clown boy now thinks he can be president. And I'm talking about this guy, O'Rourke. He's a complete lunatic, and he actually thinks he has the, the gonads. I guess he does have the gonads to run for president of the United States. And if you think about it, 12 years, who really thinks that they have the ability to finite such a thing, to say that we have 12 years? There's just no way they can figure all that out. It's just impossible.
Yeah, right. 12 years.
And if you thought the murder fantasy stuff was crazy, wait till you read his poetry. You know, I need a butt shine right now. You are holy, O sacred cow. I thirst for you. Provide milk. Are you kidding me?
Here's a classic. Here's a classic from listener Joanne. Just sent an email. According to, she says Mark Levin had a great name for him. It's Beto O'Dork. I love that. Well, good one, Joanne.
Yeah.
I think it was someplace in D.C. or maybe it was New York. They had a bunch of high school kids out screaming, "Save my planet, save my planet." I mean, these kids are really going to be messed up. They really are.
That's child abuse.
Yeah, and that's the product of your public school system mm-hmm. today. They're doing the same thing in universities. Folks, if there's one thing you want to do to help the country, if you're a conservative, a common sense person, run for school board. Take back the schools and get these liberal, socialist, brainwashing people away from your children, because it is. It's child abuse.
Yeah.
Well, you have to bust up the union, too, the educational union.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That thing is the worst thing that's ever happened to us.
Hey, yeah. Did you hear they want to take out $7 billion out of the Department of Education?
Betsy DeVos, finally, yeah. Right?
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, it's 2 years overdue, but that's fantastic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. I have a very liberal friend on Facebook who actually said he agreed. I thought he was disagreeing with another guy who said it's a great idea to get rid of this. He actually agreed. Because you know what? Think about when you think of schools. Every school has an administrator. Every school administrator reports to the school board and school board administration, who report to the intermediate school district.
The undersecretary of the secretary, too.
And then the school, state school board and state school administration. Why in God's name do you need the feds on top of all that administration? You want to talk about top heavy.
You know, Bill Bennett once told me that when he was the secretary of education, he proposed that they cut the department, and Ronald Reagan told him, you can't. It's politically unfeasible.
Ugh. Nonsense. Yeah. Nonsense. It needs to go away. All right, good call, Gary. Appreciate it.
Okay, gentlemen.
Take care. Let's take Ken from Livonia. Go ahead, Ken. You want to talk about climate?
Yeah, I want to talk about climate, and I also want to say that Donald Trump is experienced. He's got over 40 years of business experience. But as far as the climate, God clearly controls the climate. I mean, the climate, nature heals itself. Look at those islands where man has detonated the nuclear weapons, like out in the Pacific.
Yeah, the Bikini Atoll.
Everything's grown back. Yellowstone National Park, for example, where they had major forest fires that devastated everything. Nature's grown back. As we look all over the world, where nature has been destroyed, even such a disaster as a volcano, nature always grows back.
Yeah.
So these people who say, well, we have to worry about the climate, no, you don't. It takes care of itself.
Yeah.
It's
vanity. It is sheer vanity for human beings to think we are controlling the planet. We do not. And as far as I'm all up for not polluting and doing things in the nicest way possible.
Mm-hmm. Good stewardship.
But this climate scam is nothing but a nonsense. There's nothing there. It is pure garbage. And people need to understand this.
You got to understand, it's not just garbage. It's a power grab. You know that.
Power grab.
We have to keep emphasizing it. Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Well, have you been noticing the change in the weather in the last few days? Have you been noticing the fact that the Earth is rotating around the sun?
Really?
God's hand is obviously controlling the Earth's rotation as we approach the warm season again. Man cannot influence the climate. God controls it.
Yeah.
Amen. Good call, Ken.
Amen. Yeah, great
Amen.
Call, Ken. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Take care.
All right,
Take
there
care.
You go. Yeah, listener Mark also called in and said Beto or dork. So Mark Levin must be getting it out there, right? Yeah. Beto or dork. And like, well, it's St. Patty's Day, so there you go, right?
Jeez, we need a two-hour show. We didn't even get into we build the wall meeting or the Trump veto override. No, I didn't go. I had to work that night. I was hoping to go, but
if anybody went to that, please, we got a minute or two left. Please call in. I'd love to hear how that went. That O'Bannon was there, right?
Steve Bannon? Yeah. And Sheriff Clark called into Phil's show this morning.
Oh, he did.
That's available on Janice Daniels' timeline, on her Facebook timeline. You look up Mayor Janice Daniels, and you'll see where I posted their show this morning. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Great show.
So we can move on to Veto.
Yeah.
Has he vetoed it already?
He is vetoed.
He signed it.
He's already vetoed. Okay. And so now we're waiting for the courts. And it's probably going to go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
Except now we can't trust Justice John Roberts anymore.
Right.
But.
Right.
Still looks good.
Yeah,
we got Amy What's-Her-Face coming up soon. Amy, I can't remember the last name.
Amy
Coney Barrett.
Coney Barrett.
I got it. Thank you. We did it together. Yes. Oh.
It takes two of our brains to make anything work, right? For me, there's 12 Republican senators who were against us. And it's Lamar Alexander, Roy Blunt, Susan Collins, Mike Lee, Jerry Moran, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, which really surprised me.
No, it doesn't. Go ahead.
Well, he's a libertarian, so I guess you're right? Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, of course, Marco Rubio, Patrick Toomey, and Roger Wicker.
The stand they were making was that Obama was usurping congressional power. But
they did nothing against Obama.
They did nothing against Obama when he did it.
This is what aggravates me about Republicans. Happy to beat up on each other, but they won't touch a Democrat for their life of them because they're gutless. Yeah. Mitt Romney, you make me sick. And I hit Rand Paul really hard on this, too. It's like, sir, I understand your constitutional concerns, but every minute that border is open, every day, every month it's open, you're putting 76,000 new Democrat votes into the country.
It's like Lincoln during the Civil War. Oh, he suspended habeas corpus. Oh, that's horrible. No, he saved the nation. You know?
Sometimes you have to use a little common sense and stop hiding behind your alleged love of the Constitution, because I don't believe any of it. I really don't.
Yeah.
These guys want the open borders for some reason, and whatever it is not my purview, I guess, but it's wrong. We need to have that wall on the border. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, thanks for listening, folks.
All right. Till next week, go to thedailydrift.com, and Ed, we'll see you next week.
Hey, cool.
Take care.